Did you turn the heating off? I'm freezing.
It's about 20 degrees outside, dear.
Sure, you said it's cheap anyway. Keep her lit.
Get this season's hottest prices at bangerfuels.com.
The Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105. Listening to you.
Fire getting much, much closer. All the air defences are opening up all around me at the moment. All around me. To the west, there are surface-to-air missiles arcing upwards. A large explosion. Huge. Wow. That's really rocked us. That's very close. Very close to us. We've got to watch the windows here. I hope you can still hear me. I'm trying to maintain contact with you. A large bit of smoke, another large flash of explosion to the west of the city. Can you hear me, Jeremy?
I can hear you, David. I'm now seeing huge pools of smoke rising into the night sky.
Four or five huge billows of smoke. A massive shot blast just coming through our windows. I'm going to have to take cover, Jeremy. I'm going to have to take cover.
We'll let you take cover, David. Very wise. We'll describe the scene ourselves. It's getting one of the Arabic TV stations, Abu Dhabi TV, still operating the camera there, very courageously looking out over the city. I think David is somewhat nearer to those.
Harrowing sounds, no doubt about it. We watched it, of course, live on TV. The shock and awe as Tony Blair and George Bush bombed Baghdad. Let me speak to Eamon Malley. Eamon, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Eamon, do you believe Tony Blair will come out of this at an acceptable level today?
Well, that depends on one man, John Chilcot. Now, I had a familiarity with John Chilcot. He was the permanent undersecretary of the NIO. He was the most senior civil servant in Northern Ireland at critical times. So he knew what Northern Ireland was about. He knew a lot. He was a very bright, intelligent man. A senior civil servant from Dublin who worked very, very closely with him described them as Delphic. Now, that's a reference to the Greek oracle, Delphi, and it meant obscure and ambiguous. That was his disposition. So I had some familiarity with him. I also had a familiarity with him at a later stage when he was overseeing the secret channel, the back channel between the British government and the IRA and Sinn Féin. So Chilcot is a man of vast experience. The other thing about him was he, I suspect, was the one person responsible for starving all and every local civil servant of information about the secret talks between the IRA, Sinn Féin, and the British government. But one local man found out by accident, one local civil servant found out by accident, he had spoken with me in confidence. But there was a willful plan at the very top in the NIO in London to keep all information on the back channel away from local civil servants here because they didn't trust them, basically. Now, the other big connection between Northern Ireland and Iraq, apart from the contribution of local people to the Iraq war, of course, was the famous Hillsborough Castle press conference when George Bush came here to meet Tony Blair. And that was an epic day of which we will speak later. That's it, too.
So Chilcot is a man, I'm taking from what you're saying, who will grasp this nettle, or will we look back in years to come and say, yeah, that was to be expected, something of a whitewash?
Well, I wouldn't say that because we haven't seen the report. But Delphic is ever as to what should happen to those who decided that war was the course of action. It's unlikely.
Okay, Eamon, just on one other story that's breaking at the moment in relation to Oscar Pistorius. He has been jailed for 6 years for the murder of his girlfriend. Oscar Pistorius has been jailed for 6 years. And I just want to take the sentence here, I think, as it's been handed down from the judge.
That's okay.
In the result, the sentence that I impose on the accused for the murder dolus eventualis of the deceased, that is Reeva Steenkamp, is 6 years imprisonment.
So the judge handing down the sentence of 6 years to Oscar Pistorius, who has remained pretty calm considering the sentence. People had been remarking on the fact that he was a very broken man, but looking at pictures of Oscar Pistorius, he seems to have remained calm as he's sentenced to 6 years in jail. Eamon, back to the story about Iraq. 11 o'clock this morning, are you expecting shocks, or as Doug Beattie said earlier, blame will be like jam that is spread thinly?
I think against a lot of traditional reports, yes, I suspect this will be, to use that metaphor, spread thinly. But there was always this. I wouldn't suggest that Mr. Chilcot will cover up. I'm not suggesting that at all. But at the political level, at that very, very famous press conference in Hillsborough Castle, when Blair and Bush came to defend the invasion of Iraq, it was such a carefully news-managed event. The microphone was accessed to only national correspondents, with one exception. One local correspondent was given the microphone. Well, not in a million years was he going to shoot the fox. I was willfully starved of the microphone. There was an absolute attempt to make sure I didn't get the microphone, because I spent a long time framing my question for Bush and Blair on weapons of mass destruction, because I had spent a long time speaking to Blair's man in Downing Street night after night, because I was arguing, where is your evidence for this? Because no evidence to anybody in the public has emerged. What's your evidence? And he said, you will see, you will see. Well, it was quite evident that they did not have evidence, even at Hillsborough at that point in time. They had no evidence of weapons of mass destruction. But the media were so massaged, the microphone was given to people whom they knew was not going to take Bush and Blair on, and they made sure not to let me get the microphone. And it was one of the great failures, journalistic failures on my behalf, professionally, that I didn't just go ahead and scream out and say, okay, where is your evidence? Give us your evidence. If you have evidence, let's see it. But it was so managed, and it was managed by a friend of mine, which was even more galling, Frank, who was party to the operation to make sure that local politicians, local journalists like myself, didn't get a question into Bush and Blair. Just an extraordinary moment in time. They were using Northern Ireland as a template of how peace is possible. That was the whole basis of this, promoting the Northern Ireland evolving peace process situation, to say peace is possible after war.
You obviously feel very angry with that, Eamon.
It was just an abdication by me, Frank, professionally. I should have been more alive to the situation. And I knew it was very, very interesting. I could see the civil servants across the floor on the other side of the room watching me like a hawk. They anticipated something, but the way it was all so managed. But I'm irrelevant. I mean, you say, think of the guys from here who went to Iraq, who died, who didn't come back. You think of the families today sitting at home with empty chairs, young fellows, young women who went there and didn't come home. And really, as journalists, we're irrelevant when one considers what was visited upon so many homes throughout the United Kingdom and further afield.
Yes, but,
and
but
they're
if,
the real victims.
But if harder questions had been asked at all levels, not just from Eamon O'Malley that day, but if harder questions had been asked and had been allowed to have been asked, then the wool may not have been pulled over the eyes of people with the idea that there were weapons of mass destruction.
That's quite possible. That is quite possible. But the bottom line is that Tony Blair, I heard a major talking this morning on the radio, and he accused Tony Blair of being sycophantic to George Bush. And it appeared that at the time that Tony Blair may well have fallen under the spell of George Bush and daren't stand up to him. and as a result of that, went along with the American gung-ho approach to the whole thing. And I heard some of the majors and colonels talking this morning, and they were saying, like, in many ways, they were bit players. The Americans ran that war, you know. They had the lead everywhere. And there was also another major on this morning. He was talking about the absolute confusion on the ground. So many generals and commanders everywhere, but nobody knowing what the hell was going on. And such was the state of confusion on the ground during the whole operation. It didn't seem to be very well coordinated either on the ground. That was another manifestation of conversations this morning when I was listening to various participants in that war.
Okay, Eamon O'Malley, thank you very much indeed. 19 minutes to 10 is the time. Good morning. Your opinions, of course, are very welcome. 90333105.
Need a battery? You need Battery World. Battery World announced their electrifying price drop. Car batteries from £30. Yes, £30. Plus free fitting while you wait. Battery World offer up to...